3 weeks ago, I asked people at Bible study a question. And you can answer out loud or you don't have to answer at all. My first question is what, and I'm not asking you this one, my first question was, what do you think of God? The second question was, what do you think God thinks of you? And those two questions will determine a lot about your relationship with God. Do we really live a life where we think God really wants to torch us? God doesn't want us around him? God doesn't care, you know, some people have the attitude, God just doesn't care about me. He cares about all the other 5 or 6 billion people in the world, but he doesn't care about me. I understand something. I understand people will go to hell, okay? But it's their choice.
That's right.
How many of you have ever heard the verse, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish?
That's right, amen.
You know, we can't take hell out of the equation. I know I don't like it. I don't like talking about it. I don't want to talk about it, but it's reality. So I want to thank you because I preached a funeral on Tuesday afternoon and had about 40 people pray a sinner's prayer. So we need to understand that God hates sin, okay? But he doesn't hate the sinner.
That's right.
We need to understand that hell was not prepared so that you and I can go there because God offered us a different realm. He'd offer us heaven. But there are people, and we know, I read Revelation 20. I've read about the great white throne judgment. I understand there is a place called hell. And I also understand that people who are not living for Christ will end up there.
That's right.
Love the way you're shouting.
That's right.
And so what I want to talk to you about and just continue a little bit today is the process of the Christian life. How many know what Philippians 1:6 says? How about putting this verse to your memory, okay? Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. How many are a work in progress?
Amen.
And so, how many of you just get frustrated when your six-month-old baby isn't walking? How many are you looking at that baby and say, you're never walk. I don't even want to talk to you. Don't ever try to walk again. It's all over. You just can't do it. Wouldn't that be smart? But you know something? We do that with new Christians. There are times we look at the new Christians, and if you've been a Christian for more 10, 15, 20 years or more than 5 years, you've been going through a process. That process is to grow and mature you. And Paul writes to the Corinthian church and says, I wanted to give you steak, but all you wanted was milk. You couldn't eat the meat, but you drank the milk. And so there's a growing process in Christ and in our lives that God wants to bring about so that we are mature, so we can take new believers under our wings. Because God's equipping us and we can equip them. There's a process. And so, don't ever close your Bible and think you've arrived. Okay?
Right.
We are growing, we are maturing, but it never stops.
That's right.
We don't give up on it. We don't quit. And so Paul says, I know that the God that saved you, the God that freed you, the God that redeemed you, the God that brought you out of the mud of Psalms 40 and put your feet on a solid rock is going to continue the growth process in you. How many are willing to let him? How many of us are going to say, okay, God, whatever it takes, I'll spend the time, I'll make the effort. We don't earn salvation by doing. We just become more like Christ by doing. Okay?
Right.
We okay with that? I don't earn salvation. Please understand. There's no work I can do that's going to bring me salvation. I just get closer to Christ through the Word of God and through prayer and through ministering to people and through touching people's lives. We all go through that. And what a blessing it is for God to put his hand on your lives that he's doing and saying, I'm calling you out. I'm placing you in a position that I have designed for you where you, your life will glorify me. God is positioning you. Okay? How many has ever seen that position change? How many of us have come to a place where we start out here, we grew to here, we've been there, now we're here? It's a process. It's a process. And you understand something. Look at me now. Understand something. God has all the patience to run you through the process, even with some speed bumps in there, where you may have slipped, where you may have stumbled, where you may have fell, and God is still saying, hey, get up, I'm with you. You don't have to go through that life again. Get up, I'm with you. You've heard my little story, and it was one of the most amazing little things that I was preaching in another church. I was preaching on forgiveness. How many realize we need to forgive one another?
Amen.
And I'm preaching very eloquently for a change on the subject of forgiveness. And so this little girl comes up to me. She couldn't have been over 16, 17. And she said, Pastor, my boyfriend stabbed me in the belly and killed my baby. Do I need to forgive him? What are you going to say? Does forgiveness work in all cases? So I said, honey, you need to forgive him, but you don't need to go back to him. God forgives us, okay? How many believe that?
Amen.
But we don't have to go back to what we ask him to forgive us from.
That's right.
We can walk away from that. And we can be led by the Spirit of God to walk in victory and freedom. I don't want to go back to what I was.
That's right.
I want my life to glorify Jesus. So let's begin just to look at a process here. And I'll take you as far as I can, and when you get tired of listening, just wave at me, and I'll go get a sandwich, and you guys can eat. We're done. Air conditioning kicked on. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Let's start out something. If you have a mindset God doesn't like you, number 1, get rid of it, okay? But if you have a mindset God doesn't like you, then why has he blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus? Amen or oh me. The Bible says he has blessed us. Are we okay with that?
Yes.
Are you okay walking in the blessings of God?
Yes.
He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Okay. God didn't like you. Why did he choose you? You know, I was the last kid chosen for everything, even to do dishes. I mean, it was bad. I mean, I couldn't catch a ball. I couldn't hit a ball. And then all of a sudden, one year, I shot up. And so, you know, I heard many times, well, we had Dwight yesterday, you get him today. Isn't that a great feeling? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, you get Dwight. No, we don't want him. No, wait a minute. Okay, Dwight, you go out in left field, way out in left field on the other side of the fence, and you can play left fielder. But imagine God looking at you and saying, I want you. He chose us. He gave us the right to make a decision based on that decision. He chose us. We've been chosen. But here God has reached into your life and he demonstrated that you are his because he, through the Holy Spirit, ministered to you and brought you into his family. We okay with that? And he says, I want you holy and blameless. In other words, he wants our lives to reflect Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will lead us into that fulfilling life of holiness. Do you know, realize part of the root word of holy is happy? Do you ever sin and feel guilty? Oh, not you people. I know you never sinned since day one, but... You know, sinning against the Lord isn't happiness. Walking in his word and living in his spirit is happiness and joy. There's a realm there. And God wants that realm for you, and he wants you blameless. Can you? That is quite a word. That God is looking at us and saying, you can be blameless. You can be without guilt. You can be without sin. You mean I can live without sin? How many of you can live 1 minute without sinning? Amen. Just 1 minute. How many have sinned since you've been in church this morning? How many of you can live 5 minutes without sin? You know something? Led by the Holy Spirit, you can. You can. I can't do it on my own. And so God is training us and teaching us that sin should not be a part of the Christian life. Oh, you say, are you talking that we can be perfect? Yeah, the word is teleos. It means mature. In other words, I'm telling you this. Please don't misunderstand this. I'm telling you that through God, you can make right decisions.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right. Amen.
You have the ability through Jesus Christ to make right decisions.
Amen.
And that's what we're talking about. You don't have to make carnal decisions. You don't have to make worldly decisions. You don't have to come to a place. I'm not saying if you do, you're going to hell. I'm just saying we don't have to make them.
That's right.
So he wants us to be holy and blameless. In love, he predestined us to the adoption of sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure of his will to the praise of his glorious grace. Now look at me. God cares about you, loves you, realizes that he wants you to be part of his family. That word adoption, and you go back to Romans chapter 8 where he made us adopted in the beloved, that word adoption means you have full legal rights of a family member. Okay. When my mom and dad were killed, was I an orphan? I want you to think. When mom and dad were killed, was I an orphan? No, because I still had a father. I was still adopted into the family of God. In earthly sense, people would look and say, you don't have any parents. In reality, I had a father where I could cry, Abba, Father. Daddy, I need help. Daddy, I need strength. Daddy, I got to go through this. Just like you. When you're facing difficult times, understand that your Heavenly Father has already been through them. He knows about them. He understands them. And he'll take you through. Loneliness is terrible. And a lot of times we're lonely because we have nobody that understands us or identifies with us. But loneliness is broken when we realize our Heavenly Father is walking this out with us and he understands. I don't know if you're looking at me like a calf looks at a new gate or you're getting it in. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, which he lavished on us. Let me tell you something. You'll never find an issue that God's grace is not lavished on you enough to get you through it. But I want to look at, in him we have redemption through his blood. What does that mean? That means that you had to be bought back. That means that the price of sin had to be paid for. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, it wasn't paid for with silver and gold. It was paid for with the precious blood of Jesus. Okay? And so God looks at us and he says, I'm paying the price, but now here's what I want you to do. If you're going to walk this thing out victoriously, if you're going to live in my presence, if you're going to walk this thing out reflecting me, here's how you start. And I know what people are going to do. You start by accepting Jesus Christ. Okay, I buy that. But I believe the first point of the starting is that we repent and be converted, that our sins are blotted out and times of refreshing comes from the presence of God. You don't hear a whole lot about repentance. How many know what the word repent means?
Turn away from.
Turn away from? Change your mind? In other words, we were ignorant, and that doesn't mean stupid. Understand, when God uses the word ignorant, it means unknowing, not knowing. We didn't have a whole lot of knowledge. When we started going to Sunday school, I was probably 6 or 7. My mom had just been healed of dying from cancer. And so we started going to the Assembly of God Church. I didn't know nothing. They'd sing these choruses deep and wide. I thought they were talking about Rainy Lake. You know? Deep and wide. What? What's deep and wide? Water. And so you start working forward in this stuff to get a picture. So God says, I want you to repent. I want you to walk away from. I want you to have a change of mind. I want you to realize that the biggest problem you're going to face in this walk with God is not the devil, it's your thoughts. So change your mind. Think differently. The things that you used to do. Dwight, even as I got older and walked away for a while and went back in the world and started drinking and started doing the stuff I did, God's saying, I want your mind changed. I want you to look at this stuff as I look at it. I want you to see these things as I see them. I want you to be able to call sin, sin, and not cover it up. Okay? God gets no glory out of us sinning. God gets glory out of us walking in His righteousness, declaring to the world, there's hope for you who have addictions and problems and situations. You can be free.
Amen.
And then He says, be converted. What does that mean? Repent and be converted. What does that mean? Turn around. Do a 180, not a 360. Just do a 180. You are walking in the world, toward the world, the things of the world. Now you're walking toward God. Paul was very concerned about people giving the wrong impression to the unsaved. Put your stones down. I'm going to be nice. The wrong impression was, I don't want you eating meat offered to idols because that can be a stumbling block. Okay? So I quit eating meat offered to idols. I don't eat meat offered to idols. Somebody came up to me the other day, a while back, and said, Pastor, why don't you drink? Why don't you go to the bar? I looked at him and I said, in this community, and I'm not saying if you have a glass of wine, you're going to hell. Okay, I'm not saying that. But in this community, if they see me in the bar drinking, with the drinking issues in our community, what are they going to think? If he can do it, I can do it. And so we don't do it publicly. Or my wife won't even let me have one at home. No. And so we just don't do it. I don't need it. I'm not condemning you if you have something to drink. I'm not condemning that. I'm just saying I don't do it. It's not for me. I don't. You know something? I went to a show with my pastor when I was in college, The Hiding Place. And man, I was taught, you going to show, you're going straight to hell. You do not pass go and you don't get $200. And so I'm walking in there making sure the devil's not in the corner, you know. I'm serious. I was so uncomfortable and I knew I shouldn't have been there. I just knew I shouldn't have been there. And the lady in front of us throws up all over. I'm saying, God, I knew I shouldn't be here. I've sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But for years, I never went. Why? Because in my teaching that I got, it was sin. It was wrong. Well, we never went to a bowling alley. Somebody told me a while back that people didn't use forks because it would remind them of the devil's pitchfork. So we just put spoons out today. Just But we come to a place where what the Bible calls sin is sin. Is that okay? Is that how we can live? If the Word of God calls it sin, my convictions and your convictions, my convictions are way off the wall. Kirk looks at me sometimes and thinks I'm old. He can't. Well, I guess I am. But he redeemed us through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with his grace. God's redemption, God's forgiveness comes because of his grace that he lavished on you. I can't imagine. I can't imagine how much God loves people. And how it has to come to a place where it hurts when people choose not to serve him. And so we begin there. Now skip down with me to verse 17, I believe. So Paul keeps on talking about this process of salvation and what he wants to see in the lives of people. In verse 17, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelations that you may know him better. God wants to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you have a deeper understanding of him. The gifts of spirit aren't a badge that says, hey, I got this and I got that. They're bestowments of grace that God allows us to minister through by the Holy Spirit. And when you need a gift of the Spirit, that gift is the one that you need that answers the situation you're in. So, as me, I believe there's 9 available, and if I need one of those 9, it's available. It's not my permanent possession, it's the Holy Spirit using us. Now, there are gifts that you use more than others, probably. Okay? But he wants the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And Colossians says, I want you to have the spirit of wisdom and understanding. What do we need to understand? What do we need revelations about? God. How many of you absolutely have a clear picture of the heart of God? How many of us have a clear picture of what he's doing in our lives? How many of us have a clear picture of what he's expecting us to accomplish in the next 20 years? Do you know you can? What is the will of God for your life? Number one, that you're conformed to the image of Christ. Number two, I believe, and you can take issue with this, I believe God expecting every one of us to bear fruit.
Yes, amen.
Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit.
That's right.
And so we don't bear fruit by just simply sitting on the premises.
That's right.
But fruit does come by standing on the promises. And so we walk this thing out in the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and we get to know the voice of God. We get to understand what he's doing in this. We understand even the areas of ministry that he's designed for you. Are we okay?
Yes, sir.
Because God has designed your life. I want to tell you something. I believe that God has designed every person that's living in this world's life. I believe that he has a plan for their lives.
Amen.
And you can say, well, how can God have a plan for 6 billion people? Well, how can God know every star's name?
That's right. Amen.
Huh? And I believe that he tries to lead us in the path that he wants us to go through wisdom and understanding and revelation, so that we aren't surprised by what he expects us to accomplish through him. If you're an electrician, that's your occupation. But God has a deeper plan than an electrician. If you're a farmer, that's your occupation. But God has a deeper plan for you. If you're a pastor, that can be your occupation, but God has a deeper thing than that. How many understand God's not interested in titles?
That's right.
I want you to catch this, though. I pray that your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. I know I need to quit, but I'm just getting going. The hope. Do you know what the hope of God is for you? Do you know that God has placed hope in you? Expectation? He knows that if we fail at times, he knows we don't listen at times. He knows that we get stubborn. Anybody get stubborn with God? How many have ever told God no? How'd that go? But God has placed hope in us. Even when you were down and out in the world, God had hope that he placed in you to accomplish that which he called you to.
That's right.
And his incomparable great power, for us who believe, the power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. I'm going to close. I'll finish it next week or some week. I want you to understand, and please don't miss this. You have resurrection power in your DNA.
Amen.
Your spiritual DNA. He says he wants us to recognize the same power in us that it was happening when he raised Christ from the dead. That sounds pretty mighty to me. You miss a great spot to say amen. Thank you. In your spiritual DNA is resurrection power to face anything that the enemy wants to throw at you, come against you, or sickness, or problems, whatever you face, you have that great power.
That's right to do, amen.
The same power that Jesus used, that was working in Jesus when he was raised from the dead. Not only that, Romans 8:11 tells us that if the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then that same power will bring life to your physical body.
Amen.
I understand that sometimes it's just hard to put everything together. But my suggestion to you is that you read Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, until it's pouring out your head.
That's right.
You get a picture of the design that God has for his people and his church. And it sure isn't anything like people think we should be like. You have the character of Christ. I was going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance kindness, and to kindness brotherly love, and to brotherly love love. Because if you do these things, you'll never stumble. Huh? If you have these things, you'll never stumble. I'm tired of stumbling, physically and spiritually. I'm tired of having to rebuke myself. What are you thinking like that for, you big dummy? I don't need to hear any amens either. But our minds are being renewed, and think the quicker they're going to be renewed is as we get the Word of God in there and we understand. We understand the place that God has designed for our lives. It's so much different than what we think. How many have heard He can do above what we ask or think? Supernaturally above.
Yes, amen.
How many of us believe that? Well, I haven't seen it. It must not be happening. Why isn't it happening? Because I don't believe it. He wants to take you so deep in His Word. And you could spend a week, just a week, reading Ephesians chapter 1. And it would be amazing how that scripture would transform you into what God wants you to be.
Amen.
But when you add those three books, and I'm not saying those are the only three important books in the Bible. I'm just saying if you really want to see a picture of what God has in store for us, take a look at them. It's amazing. It's amazing.